Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how you don't need a real estate license to buy and sell real estate.
What? Wait, what? Yes,
of
that's true.
Of all the things that you need a license for, and I'm sure Jill's got a whole list of them she's going to describe, because some of them are silly, like being a barber.
Yep.
You do not in any way need to a license to buy and sell real estate.
Yep.
We have a lot more freedom than we all think.
Yep.
But before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Damien asks, I primarily wholesale residential buildable lots inside. Okay, wait. Can you go back up here?
I primarily wholesale residential buildable lots inside of subdivisions.
He put a question mark, and that's what threw me there. I'm like, is that a question or a statement? Looking to branch out to other markets, however, I was wondering if there was a way I could find only counties that with land that primarily uses public water and sewer and don't need perk tests, wetland tests, environmental tests, etc. Okay. So we want to find info lots that don't need those items.
What he's asking is, is there something in the data set in RealQuest, DataTree, or whatever you're using that identifies the buildability of a given piece of property, land?
And Thank you for translating.
The answer is no.
Okay.
So these data sets, while they're extraordinary in the amount of information that they provide, generally provide, this is how I mentally see it, what they generally provide is all the stuff that you could put on a piece of paper about a piece of property, but not so much the stuff about the physical asset. Now, there's lots of exceptions to that. So you can get square footage very easily if it's a house, and certainly if it's land most of the time. Does it have a pool? How many bedrooms does it have and stuff? But we're talking about land right now, so it's almost all. Does it have a mortgage? That's on there. That's on a piece of paper. But the attributes of the land, where utilities are, is it in a floodplain, things like that, those are happen afterward. And so if you're brand new at this is a very good question. If you're new at this, you don't even, when you open this data set for the first time and you start horsing around in there, you don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of times people, just because it's curiosity, it's not like they're wrong. They don't fully understand that the actual physical attributes about the property, access, and specifically access, it's not there.
I look at it this way, which is true. The reason that we have this data is around assessors. And it's really what the assessors need to know or want to know so they can justify the taxes that are charged on the property. Do they really care at the end of the day what direction, you know, what the view's like or access really or buildability? No. That's stuff we want to know, you know, as the buyer or seller or even end user. It's different than what they don't really care about that. The type of house, if I go to the county and I'm going to build a house on a piece of property, they're not really concerned. They're not going to tell me, build bigger because we're going to charge more. It's just kind of like whatever you're going to do, let us know. They don't really kind of care about that.
I mean, Damien asked this question in Land Investors, mm-hmm. and then many people answered. Many, many people came to a very quick answer. Mike Marshall was one of them who works at the LA County Office in Planning and Zoning, I think. And he gave a dissertation about what's included and what's not and why there's so many variables involved. And it's basically summarized what Jill just said. Assessors need to know X. Everything after that, we're investors. We need to know it.
Right.
So it's not that hard to put this puzzle together after you do a few deals.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. Here's a potential silver bullet. If you buy property, infill lots, let's say, in a very, very urban area, Phoenix, Albuquerque, Los Angeles, and the area is relatively flat, there's a darn good chance the property you buy is going to have utilities right at the lot line.
Mm-hmm.
So there is somewhat of a silver bullet. Here's an example of San Diego County itself is very difficult to buy infill lots in because it's not flat. Oh, wait, Steve, Phoenix isn't flat either. Phoenix has mountains all over the place. Phoenix is completely flat or it's got massive mountains.
I love it when you have a conversation with yourself and I don't have to. That's the best part.
Same thing, Steve.
Can you imagine? I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to say, oh, wait, Jill, put that down. Do you really need another?
You really talk out of both sides of your mouth constantly.
Yeah, you do.
I feel compelled to tell you.
Yeah. Is that true? Do you know what that is? It's this little guy on this shoulder and the little guy on this shoulder. That's what's going on in your head right now.
Yep, the angel and the devil.
And you just verbalize it for all of us. Thanks, babe.
If you look at infilots in like places like Oklahoma, they all have utilities, especially urban places, right to the lot line.
So good.
It's just the San Diego is just packed full of unusable infilots, as an example. But people who mail there buy incredibly awesome property at a very cheap price. So you just have to.
Yep.
This kind of thing, it takes experience.
It does.
I can tell you right now, like, buying infill lots in Phoenix is awesome.
Right.
Buying infill lots in like any of the center states, a lot of places in Texas, really good, especially urban areas. When it starts to get hilly, there's problems. And California is nothing but hilly.
Sorry, I'm just still laughing at you. I just love your vocabulary today. Whatever's going on here, it's great. I don't know what it is. What was in your coffee this morning?
You know what? I don't think I've had enough coffee. I'm probably overcompensating.
That might be it.
Today's topic, you don't need a license to buy and sell real estate. This is the meat of the show. Okay, in true to form. That's great, Steve. Why do so many people...
Let me do it.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, why not, Steve? Please tell us more. Pick me.
That's great, Steve. Everybody I know who buys and sells real estate are in the real estate business. They have a license.
They need it. They're saving on the fees.
They either have it because they're buying and selling houses for people, or they have it hanging on the wall over there. But they only do their own deals.
And they think it leads more credibility. Doesn't it lead more credibility?
Let me clear all this up for everyone once and for all.
Thanks, Steve.
You need a real estate license issued by the state you're in to represent somebody in the purchase or the sale of their property, not yours.
Right.
So you're representing someone else in the purchase or sale of their property, whether it's a seller or a buyer. You do not need a real estate license to buy your own real estate.
Yep.
And there's no limit. I think a lot of it, the car industry confuses this a little bit because you don't need a license to buy and sell your own car either.
Right.
But if you buy and sell more than your own cars three times in a year, in Arizona anyway, you need a dealer license. There's no such thing in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a skyscraper without a license and without the use of a real estate agent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy 400 of them.
And your purchase agreement can be on a cocktail napkin,
and
by
often
the way.
Is. Commercial real estate is way less complicated, ironically, mm-hmm. than residential. And it's because residential real estate agents make it complicated.
Well, you know what I think about, too? I think, especially as an investor, you don't want one. Because if you think that, well, first of all, having a real estate license, I know you said some of this already, it opens you up to all these things that you have to disclose now. There's things you need to know and then you have to disclose about the property and go into it. The other thing is, I look at some people that I think that they go into it because they think they're going to save money. Like, okay, I'm going to do all my own deals, so no one else is going to get the percentage. I'm going to get the percentage. Just don't have any agents, and then you get all the money anyway. And if you think that you're getting the full percentage because you're the only agent that's involved in the transaction, well, don't forget, you know, you got to pay that broker a fee, and often brokers take a percentage of your cut. So you're not getting the full commission like you think you are versus just not having an agent or broker involved at all.
There used to be reasons for people who buy and sell real estate like us to be a real estate agent. And the biggest one was access to the MLS.
Right.
Well, that's not, if you just go to realtor.com, you have access to all the MLSs in the whole country, plus all that data.
Right.
Plus a tremendous amount of back-end data.
Exactly.
If you dig through there, you can find some that's downloadable.
Yep.
There's no reason to be a real estate agent at all unless you're going to go out every day in the morning and look for listings, or you're going to represent couples and their new baby on buying a new house. That's it. And that's a whole different business.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with what we do, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real estate agent who's ever been a career real estate agent that knows anything about data at all. If they knew something about data, they would be an investor.
Exactly. I find it interesting, the number of agents that say, oh, I want to be the investor. I'm like, well, why? They're like, because they make all the money and they have all the money. I'm like, well, hold on a moment then. Why aren't you transitioning to that? And they're like, oh, they just like throw their hands up. Like it's just, they just can't possibly.
It's a completely different talent.
Yeah. And so.
It's apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my point to this is that I'm trying to end this question once and for all. Because there's a lot of, and it's not your fault.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misconception about real estate licensure. So I'm going to just say it once again. It all has to do with representing someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you represent yourself, you don't need a license.
And
there's no limit.
Yourself,
no limit.
And you own it yourself. It's your name on the deed. It's your property. You're not representing anybody. You can do whatever you want, make all the mistakes you want. You know, they're trying to look out. And I get it. Having a licensed person, if, you know, you work at Toyota, let's just say, and the whole plant's moving and you're a professional and you're busy on time. There's a need for agents sometimes, and they're looking out for you and your well-being and helping you make these decisions. That makes sense. And you want them to be licensed and educated.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. But for this, nope.
So in the House Academy program, we talk about the necessity for what we call boots on the ground, which is if Joe and Sally Seller call me back because they got a letter and say, yeah, I do. You know what? Your timing is perfect. I would love to sell you my house for $185,000. What's the next step? And it's in Tennessee and I live in California. And the sooner the better, has to go out there and sit them down and find out why they want to sell and establish a relationship, put a face and name. And we call that BOG.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great, Steve. Isn't that BOG thing? Aren't they representing you, the seller? Don't they need a license? No, here's why. And let's take a step further. Because they're a partner in the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're an owner.
Yep.
And they're the seller just as much as I'm the seller. And we cover that all in the program. So, and that's not even what I would call a workaround.
Right.
That's total full-blown, we're in business together to buy and sell real estate. Their job as a partner is to handle the stuff on the ground, the boots on the ground piece. My job is to raise money, keep the transaction going, employ a transaction coordinator, get a title agent, do all that other stuff that I can do from behind a desk in a different state.
Right.
So you don't need a license to sell real estate.
Well, that's great, Steve.
You just like saying that.
I do.
Partners, partners, partners.
Yep.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the episode called Why Men Don't Understand Women.
And we answer your questions posted on landinvestors.com. It is our online community and it is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. We're getting a little creative with the Friday shows.
I was wondering, where is something going on there?
No, it's all real estate driven. It's because people in general handle real estate deals differently. Sometimes it's gender specific.
I concur. Wherever you are watching, wherever you are listening, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.